Hello again, it's myself, Miles McKee, with the weekly podcast from Gospel Truth, or filled with Gospel Truth. I'd like you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Psalms, or go on your computer or your phone to Psalms, Psalm 40, verses 2 to 3. It's a Psalm of David. So the whole Psalm is wonderful, but listen to these two verses. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I like that. And he established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. What a lovely few verses from Psalm 40, this verses 2 and 3, the Psalm of David. And this is David's biography, and in many ways we could say it's our biography. This is what happened to us if we're Christians. We were brought up out of a horrible pit. That's prison. In the East, in those days, prison was no better than a hole in the ground. Many times that's exactly what it was, a hole in the ground in a horrible pit. But I've been brought up out of a horrible pit. And the thing is, this is likened to the non-Christian being brought up out of the horrible pit, and then he's a Christian then. And the problem is with the horrible pit is that a lot of folks who aren't saved don't realize that they're in a horrible pit. Now, sometimes they do, and they call upon the Lord, and all manner of wonderful things happen. But to get out of the pit, we've got to discover that we're in the pit. We're in that prison. You know, David discovered it, that he was born into that prison. He says, I was born in sin. This is Psalm 51. I was born in sin, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Aye. And Jesus warns, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 8, verse 24, Unless you believe that I am. Now there's in the italics, you'll see beside it, the he is in italics, which means that's provided by the translators. But unless you believe that I am is the covenant name of God. Who, says Moses, is sending me? It's I am. I am. That's God's name. Yeah, unless you believe that I am, unless you trust in Christ, you'll die in the pit. Christ is your only hope. The Lord Jesus is the only Savior. He's the only way. I know that's not popular to say things like that today, but that's all right. We have to live with that. There's only one way, and that's through Christ. He brought us up. Jesus warned it. We start in the pit, and so many die in the pit. So how about you? Have you realized that you're in the pit? You have. Call on him for mercy. Hey, I'm not judging you. Because I was in the pit. We all start in the pit. Every one of us starts in the pit. But have you realized it? You know, for years, I was in the pit and I didn't know it. I was on death row and I didn't know it. That's tragic. Yeah, Esther. those of you that know me think I'm some kind of a holy Joe. No, I'm a wretch, but I've been brought up out of the pit. I don't want to go near the pit anymore. Yeah. What happened when you were in the pit? Well, here's what happened. It's in the text. Verse 2, he brought me up out of the pit, out of a horrible pit. He brought me up. Who did? He did. He, the Lord Jesus, God, brought me up. Who got me out of the pit? The Lord. Not my works. Not my goodness. Not your church attendance. It's not the taking of sacraments that gets you out of the pit. Did you hear me? It's not our goodness that gets us out of the pit. It's not our righteousness that gets us out of the pit. We are saved by grace. Grace is that which we do not deserve. We don't deserve it. Saved by grace through faith and not of yourselves. No, it's not of yourselves. It's grace. We're saved by grace. Saved by grace. How wonderful. And then what happens? Look at the verse. Verse 2. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. I love that. He set my feet upon a rock. Ha! Brilliant. The rock is Christ. Our feet are set upon him. He is our foundation. He doesn't deliver us to desert us, you know that. He doesn't redeem us to release us. He sets our feet upon the rock. And when your feet are upon Christ the rock, you're upon a solid foundation. And when he saves, by the way, he has a right to save. Did you know that? When he puts away our sin, he does so on indisputable grounds. His is a legal right to bring you up out of the pit. Why? Because he went down into the pit. Who did? Jesus went down into that horrible pit that we were living in. And oh, he gave his life. He poured out his blood so that he would bring us up. He brought us up. Who's going to put us back? He brought us up. Isn't he wonderful? Don't you love him? Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. Oh, and now that he has saved us, he is our justifier. He has now saved us and he's our preserver. He has now saved us and he is our perfecter. He sets our feet upon the rock. Do you know what it is to have your feet set upon a rock? Do you know what it is to have your feet upon Christ? We're talking in pictures here. But do you know what it means? Can you sing, "On Christ the solid rock I stand"? That's a great hymn. If you don't know it, look it up online. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Do you know what it is to have your feet set upon Christ? Do you know what it is to be built upon the rock? You know, Spurgeon, there was a great old preacher called Spurgeon. Most of you would know who that was, but he was a great preacher from England. He tells a story about an old Christian lady who was dying. And the pastor came along to visit her, and he said, in his pastoral voice, "Sister, are you sinking? Are you sinking? Are you sinking?" he asked. And she answered him not a word, but looked up at him with incredulous eyes. And he repeated the question. He said, Sister, are you sinking?" And she looked at him as if she could not believe the question, looked at him as if he had two heads. And at last, rising a little bit in her bed, she said, "Sinking? Sinking? Did you ever know of anyone who could sink through a rock?" Great. Then she said, "If I'd been standing on the sand, I might sink. But thank God I'm on the rock of ages. And there's no sinking there. I'm on the rock of ages. There's no sinking there." Can you say that? "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." You know, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, robed and clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Sinking? Yeah. Can't a Christian can't sink through a rock, and the rock is Christ. But it doesn't end there. Look back at Psalm 40 with me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. That's what it's like to not be saved. You're living in a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay, filthy stuff. And he set my feet upon a rock. And then look at this. And established my goings. That's what Christ Jesus will do for you. He'll establish you. You talking to the non-Christians, you're still... Look, the Lord will take you out of the pit. And believer, he will establish you. Now there's... I puzzle at this because... Look, I've been preaching a long time. This isn't my first rodeo, as they say down in Texas. And I have met so many people who say they're Christians, and yet they remain yo-yos. You know what a yo-yo is? It's just, I don't know, there's a modern equivalent, no doubt of it. But they're muesli Christians. They're flakes and nuts. And here's what happens, however. It's supposed to happen. You get established. The Lord establishes us. Now, what do you mean by established, Brother Miles? Do you mean wealthy? No. I have met some very wealthy flakes. No, not every wealthy person is a flake. Far from it. There's a few of you get this, this broadcast, and no, you're not flakes. But I've met some wealthy flakes. They're putting their money into every ding-along project which comes along. Now, here's, I remember I was raising money for a mission project, and I was building a church out in the Republic of Ireland, planting a church. And I went back to the States, and I met some people. I was trying to tell them about our vision. But you know what their vision was? Their vision to spread the gospel was to buy sheep and boat them, send them to Israel. And I don't know where they figured this out, but they felt that as they bought sheep, they spent thousands and thousands and thousands. And if they bought sheep, the Lord would return if they bought sheep and sent them to Israel. Flakes. Flakes. Oh my goodness, no, so it doesn't mean necessarily that he'll establish you and make you wealthy, not necessarily. But when he establishes first of all in grace. There's a mark of a believer, living in grace. He's living in grace. She's living in grace. Not self-righteousness, not trying to impress God, not trying to see, God, look, I read my Bible today, now bless me. Oh, Lord, I prayed so much today, now bless me. No, that's living in self-righteousness. That's not being established. That's not being established in the grace of God. What about you? Are you? Are you established? Are you getting there? I know. Listen. Sometimes it's so easy to be a legalist, isn't it? I mean, we trying to impress God. Look at how much witnessing I'm doing. But God loves us. The Father loves us in Christ. In Christ. We're on the solid rock. And we have his performance. I don't pray enough. I know. Do you know you don't? I know that you don't pray enough. Because I know something about me. I don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. But Christ has prayed perfectly for us all. He's prayed a perfect prayer life. Everything he did was perfect. And it's mine and it's yours if you're a believer. Yeah, he establishes us in grace. He establishes us also in the Word. Did you know an established believer knows a little bit about the Word? He doesn't run around fearing everything. Why? Because he knows the promises of God. He's established in the Word. Fear not, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We know the promises of God, and they become so very useful to us because we're established. We're able to claim it in times of trial. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep you. Keep your mind, it shall garrison you. If you're established, you know those things. You know those promises. You claim those promises. You've put those promises into your heart. Christ will establish your heart in grace. He will establish your heart in the Word. He'll establish your heart in usefulness. Remember Onesimus? He was a useless critter of a fella. He was useless. And he met the Apostle Paul and he got saved. He had run away from, Onesimus had run away from Philemon, from Philemon's household, and had stolen. And Paul, when Onesimus got saved, he got established. And Paul sent him back and said, although he was useless, he's now useful. That's what the grace of God will do here. The grace of God, the salvation of the Lord will make you useful. It's wonderful. Call upon him. Call upon him. But you know, most of all, Christ will establish our hearts in himself. Oh, Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Oh, Christ will become the very center of our life. Yeah, you know, I am totally thrilled with what Christ has done for us. But who did it for us? Christ. May we be enthralled with Christ. May we be madly in love, not just with what he's done, but with him. With him himself. S.D. Gordon tells of an old Christian lady whose mind had begun to slip. Now, once this dear sister had basically known the Bible by heart, but she got old ages, and eventually only one little bit of the Bible had stayed with her. Her mind was gone. But she remembered, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I've... And she kept saying this over and over. This is the only thing she remembered in Scripture. But she kept saying, I know whom I've believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep. And eventually, those words, even those words, would slip away. And all she was left with was, that which I've committed unto him, that which I've committed unto him, that which I've committed unto him. And then at last, as she hovered between time and eternity, her loved ones noticed her lips moving and they bent down to see if she needed anything. Do you know what she was doing? She wasn't asking for anything. She was repeating over and over to herself the one word of the text that she remembered. Him. She'd lost the whole Bible except for one word, but she had the whole Bible in that one word, him. Oh, he will establish us, our feet on the rock, and establish us in grace. Yes, in the word. Yes, in usefulness. Yes, but himself. He'll establish us in himself. He's wonderful. Don't you love him? Don't you think he's great? I must move on. Do you know anything about being established? Well, maybe not, but listen, do you know about this? Look at the next verse, verse 3. He has put a new song, and I'm going to wind this up very soon. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. He's put a new song. You know, Christ's mouth was always filled with praise. I was thinking about this the other day. Did you know in Matthew 26 and verse 38, right before the crucifixion, do you know what he did? He sang. Jesus sang. Now, if you knew you were going out today, what would you do? I might cry. I don't know about you. Or maybe pray. Yeah, but you know, Jesus sang. That's what when he was facing death, he sang. You know, it's said that when Luther began preaching and when his preaching began to take effect, you could hear plowmen at their plow singing psalms. They were singing. because they've been saved. They've been taken out of the pit. They've been saved. They're singing a new song. Listen, I remember as a witness, this is back in Ireland, I was witnessing to a fellow one time, and I managed to get him to come to one of our meetings. And the next day we were talking about the meeting. He said, well, it was all right, but I couldn't understand all that singing, all that praising God sort of stuff. Well, no wonder, because you're not saved. You're still in the pit. Listen, when he takes you out of the pit, he puts a song in your heart, a song of deliverance. He puts a song of forgiveness, a song of cleansing, thanking him for the blood. And you don't actually even have to be singing. You can be singing in your heart, singing out. You don't have to sing out loud. But if you're still playing fast and loose with the world, you'll not have a song in your heart. You'll not be able to sing. And when I hear Christians complaining and griping all the time, to me that sounds like the language of the pit. When you're complaining and griping and groaning and moaning and complaining, and this one did that and that one did that. Are you saved, for goodness sakes? He's put a new song in the heart of the saved, making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Oh, how wonderful. I'm going to end with an old memory. Years and years ago, there was a program, and it probably is still on TV, from Australia. It's called Neighbours. I used to watch it years ago. Don't anymore. I don't care too much about it. But one thing I remember is that they had one professed Christian in the whole thing, in the whole program. And her name was Mangle, Mrs. Mangle. And she was the Christian in the whole thing. And she was always going to church. But here, she was a real battle axe. She was always complaining and fussing and fighting and criticizing everybody and gossiping about this one and that one. Mrs. Mangle. I have met Mrs. Mangle Christians. Oh, no song. No song in their hearts. Is that how your unsaved friends see you? Listen, he takes us out of the pit. He brings us up out of the pit and he sets us down. Yes, he sets us on the rock, Christ, and he establishes our ways. And he puts a new song into our hearts. And that's the gospel truth. It's been great being with you. If I can answer any questions, my address is miles@milesmckee.com. I don't know all the answers, and if I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. We put out a Wednesday word each week. Gospel Pact, if you want to receive that, free each week. Just write to me at miles@milesmckee.com. Just write and say, subscribe. That's simple, isn't it? Listen, the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.